SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. A new week begins on FFC. He is Joe Lisi, and I am Ben Stevens. We welcome you to Sports Grid Radio to get this week underway. Joe, a week ago at this point, we were recapping Super Bowl 58 between the Chiefs and the 49ers. It is crazy how long a week can feel like in the football realm. But really, Joe, there's not much to discuss in terms of big news that has happened around the National Football League or even in college football these past few days. Tomorrow it could begin. That's when the franchise tag window for 32 NFL organizations around the league for those franchise tag eligible players does open up through Tuesday, March 5th. We might have some news to discuss at this point in exactly 24 hours. At this moment, Joe, we begin the early stages of the offseason around the NFL.
Yeah, this is it, Ben. This sucks if you're an avid college and NFL guy like we are. I mean, this is as bad as it gets. Obviously, we have college basketball and NBA to maybe take a little of the luster off. But, I mean, for me, this is difficult. We have the combine over the next few weeks, the NFL draft on the horizon. But ultimately, this is where teams make decisions, right, to really solidify lineups and rosters for next year. And this is where champions are born. This is where organizations value free agents, and we'll see what transpires over the next few weeks. But this is as bad as it gets in terms of lack of action and lack of just topics to talk about. I wish it was August already.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot of time for us to get there, and we will have reports as we get into the combine, as we have those pro days around the National Football League, as we inch closer and closer and near the 2024 NFL draft, but that's not till the end of April. We have some win totals we can look at in college football. That is a fun and exciting thing. A couple of new markets in terms of conference championship prices for the 2024 NFL season as well, but in terms of the big news, not a ton really to break down at this moment. Tomorrow, an interesting day. I look forward to that conversation with some of the franchise tags potentially around the National Football League. First, let's make sure we welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here on Sirius XM Channel 159. 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Because, Joe, when you look at some of the big names around the NFL for when the franchise tagging can begin tomorrow, on a Tuesday, big names. Josh Allen, not the quarterback, but the linebacker, edge rusher extraordinaire for Jacksonville. Saquon Barkley up again. Brian Burns for the Carolina Panthers. Kyle Duggar. T. Higgins, a big one for the Cincinnati Bengals. Danielle Hunter, who led the NFL in the opening half of the season in sacks. Josh Jacobs, L'Jarius Sneed. The list goes on and on. Chris Jones for the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Could be a projected franchise tag, but his would be $32 million because of his 2023 camp number, not what would be the regular 19.7 for defensive linemen. So some really big names, Joe, around the NFL that will be a part of this franchise tag conversation once again. If you remember at this point last season, big time for the running backs like Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs, both eligible to be tagged once again, and namely Joe Lamar Jackson, that really set his contract dispute with Baltimore into a tizzy.
Yeah, it did, right? And really, you know, allowed Baltimore to push all the chips in the middle of the table. And some of these teams are going to have to make a decision about how they want, you know, if they want these players around for next season or they just want to let them walk and how they assign the franchise tag. We talked about it with Saquon Barkley, right? A one-year deal. He's on the now, potentially could move on. And ultimately, there are players that we know have value, Ben, but they're not willing to extend long-term deals for the most part because they're not sure of their market value and really want to get stuck. And that is the problem when we talk about the NFL and even college, how the NFL is completely different because you have a salary cap. You have to make moves to really solidify certain types of positions. And quarterbacks obviously hold a bigger amount towards the cap, but ultimately running backs, they're a dime a dozen. So I am curious to see how this plays out in regards to this tomorrow and the rest of the week, because then we can get a determination about which team potentially is in a good position to challenge for a division title and, more importantly, a championship.
Absolutely so. And so, Joe, let's pay that forward a little bit and taking an early look at the conference championship odds for next year's NFL season in 2024. Both the AFC and the NFC title odds came available this weekend. Scott Wetzel and I discussed briefly on Friday's show here on Football Full Circle. Joe, let's start in the AFC. And I think one of the points that is so interesting to me is the fact that these conference title odds in the AFC could look very similar, obviously given any significant injuries, acquisitions, free agency deals, so on and so forth throughout the next few years. But the odds entering 2024 look pretty similar to how they did entering 2023, and they might continue to look this way beyond and beyond. Next offseason, the offseason after that, the offseason after that one, entering the 2027 NFL campaign, because the Chiefs are the favorites at plus 340. The Ravens, second best price, plus 460. Buffalo, plus 650. The Bengals, fourth best number at 7-1. Then the Dolphins, with a drop off to 11-1, Houston Texans 14-1, Chargers and the Jets at 16-1, the Jags 17-1, and the Browns round out the top 10 at plus 2,000. And Joe, when you look at the names for those top seven prices, every quarterback at this current moment is 28 years old or younger. Mahomes for the Chiefs, Jackson for the Ravens, Allen for the Bills, Burrow for the Bengals, Tagovailoa for the Dolphins, Stroud for the Texans, Herbert for the Chargers. And then the 17 one number on the Jags, that's Trevor Lawrence. The only old veteran is Aaron Rodgers, who will be 40 years old by the time next season kicks for the New York Jets. So the reason I say, Joe, these odds right now to win an AFC championship next year could look the same for years to come, it's because the guard of quarterbacks in the AFC that will make this conference championship race always a very difficult path to get through, the quarterbacks are young, and they're going to be here for the next little bit of time.
Yeah, they're young. You're absolutely right. But there's really only been one young quarterback that, no matter who's around them, has won three now Super Bowl championships, and that's Pat Mahomes at plus 350. The other teams, we don't know what the Baltimore Ravens are going to do. Joe Burrow might potentially lose T. Higgins. We saw Josh Allen with a non-existent Stephon Diggs, right? Yep. Those teams couldn't take or get over the hump. So these offseason moves really are important for those teams outside of Kansas City. So again, for me right now, money-wise, it's Kansas City and everybody else. But if you're looking for teams to keep an eye on, I would look at the Texans at 14-1, Ben, and now a little bit later with the Cleveland Browns at 20-1.
Yeah, the Browns, an interesting situation this year with Deshaun Watson, who has been mediocre, to say the least, and mediocre might be too kind in his action that he has seen in his 2 years in Cleveland. Obviously, an injury-plagued 2023. He was suspended for the first 11 games of 2022 for multiple violations of the NFL's personal conduct policy. Joe Flacco made that offense go more than Deshaun Watson could even dream of at this moment. The Texans, a fascinating team, and I think that dives us into our next conversation. The Chiefs at the top and everybody else trying to keep pace, and the AFC South might have something to say about how the conference overall plays out next year and maybe for seasons to come. We'll have that conversation next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So, Joe, we look around the AFC right now to look at the conference championship prices for next season, but what also might be beyond. But, of course, as you talk the AFC, it must begin with the favorites, and rightfully so, the Kansas City Chiefs. Plus 350, the shortest number, $1.10 in front of the Ravens, who have the second best price. KC, Joe, if you were to bet that plus 350 price, it might sound crazy to say on today. today, February 19th, 2024, for a bet that would not even be able to cash for the next 11 and a half months. But there's a good chance you either cash that ticket or somewhere along the way you are going to find profitability, a cash out option on that number. Because that's just what we know with the proven track record of success the Chiefs have seen all six seasons with Patrick Mahomes as their starting quarterback. Because all six of those years, the Chiefs have played in the AFC Championship game. And they have cashed that ticket. They have won the AFC title four of those 6 years. And the two times they didn't, they lost in overtime to Tom Brady and the Patriots in 2018, to Joe Burrow and the Bengals in 2021. So, yes, Joe, it is kind of crazy to say plus 350 right here, right now, tie up your money for 11 months before this number even really becomes viable. But there's a good chance that you'll be sitting here in 11 months from right now saying, okay, I got the Chiefs playing in the AFC Championship game in a plus 350 price.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, plus money, right? Who's worth the plus money? And if you could get Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce at almost 4-1 in terms of preseason, you're most likely going to have a shot, obviously, to make a title run, and that's all you can ask for. I think, you know, when we look at some of the other teams, you say, oh, Buffalo. But, you know, Buffalo, we know that they've been there before, much maybe better teams and better, I want to say, strength in terms of the passing attack. Stephon Diggs has been non-existent over the second half of the season. There are concerns. Yeah. So I can't buy in all into Buffalo where they are. We know about, and we mentioned T. Higgins potentially losing or moving on from Cincinnati. How does that affect Joe Burrow? He's coming back from an injury. I need to see him 100% healthy before I buy all in. Like I mentioned, the reason why I would buy into Houston and Cleveland respectively is that Cleveland did it with Joe Flacco, a pedestrian 38-year-old quarterback, right? So hopefully they could build that team better from where they were at the end of the year, whether Deshaun is the guy or you build around Flacco. And same thing with C.J. Stroud, right? A young team, second year now with D'Amico Ryans, Stroud in the second year in that offense. How does that offense evolve? And if you could put maybe a marquee free agent in terms of an offense or defensive perspective, maybe they're not 20 or 24 to one, maybe they'll already be maybe like, you know, 10 to 1 or 9 to 1 should they really dominate in the first half of the year. So that's where I look from the value perspective as opposed to the top, let's say, 5 or 6 teams.
Yeah, absolutely so. And that's part of the conversation as well. The AFC North is going to be a very tough division once again, as it was this year, even with Joe Flacco. I would make the argument that Deshaun Watson has been abysmal in Kevin Stefanski's offense, and Joe Flacco actually brought it to a level that I think Stefanski would hope it could be at. Interesting discussions and debates to be had by Cleveland this year at the quarterback position, knowing the investment into a guy that has been frankly mediocre and has played very, very, very little football in the last 3 to 4 years. The Texans, Joe, though, at that 14-1 price, very intriguing to me. Sixth best number around the AFC. Of course, Houston was the team that nobody expected to be in that spot. Nobody expected to reach the playoffs. Nobody expected to win the AFC South. And yet the Texans, with a preseason win total of 6.5 entering 2023, with a rookie head coach in D'Amico Ryans, a rookie quarterback in C.J. Stroud, got there and even won a playoff game against those Browns. And last year, Joe, entering 2023, the AFC South as a division was largely an afterthought. The Jags were an odds-on favorite. They were going to run away with the division. They coughed it up, certainly, down the stretch. And then it was everybody else. How could the Texans be in year one with Stroud? What about the Indianapolis Colts with Anthony Richardson? And it was a much more competitive division than we expected. And I think that's going to be the case here entering this next year. The Texans might be the favorites. The Jags, not all that far behind. And if the defense is better, I still believe in this Jacksonville team that certainly stumbled down the stretch. I am also very interested to see a Colts team that had a winning record now insert their rookie quarterback of the future, who will really be in his rookie season, or at least his full, hopefully full-length season, first full-length season in the NFL in Anthony Richardson. I don't have too much hope for the Titans right now, nor Will Levis, but still a young, intriguing quarterback that could be able to make some headwaves. And that's really, Joe, where I look at the AFC South differently this year than I did entering a season ago, and a division that might actually make things competitive in that conference overall.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it overall in terms of that division, right? C.J. Stroud, you have Trevor Lawrence, Anthony Richardson. I mean, the upside for all of these guys, even in year number three with Trevor Lawrence, is huge. They could always evolve and potentially be a top five quarterback. And you saw a team like Indianapolis with Gardner Minshew potentially go to the playoffs. They had a play-in game against Houston, and they were able to overexceed expectations because of their head coach Shane Steichen. So that is the biggest thing. You have a lot of young head coaches, especially in terms of that division. You have the old man and Doug Peterson that did win a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles, but young talent at every single skill position, and that's why any one of those teams could potentially win the South. I think that is the most intriguing thing. I think when you look at Tennessee, obviously a major rebuild right now because of the moving parts. Where is Derrick Henry go? They have no wide receiver depth, so they are the one team that I think is up against it. But with the right type of, you know, offensive philosophy, they can potentially overexceed as well. I just think you look at the other three teams as, you know, the ones to maybe really challenge, not just for a division title, but make them run at a potential dark horse for an AFC championship.
Yeah, absolutely so. And that's going to be the conversation out of the AFC South, I believe, entering this new season. Joe, the Ravens and the Bills are going to be two teams that a lot of people focus on, and rightfully so, entering this upcoming NFL campaign. Two teams that could be there, a team that reached the conference championship a year ago, a team, of course, that has been in the division around in Buffalo three straight years, but they have fallen short on the most significant stages. Do you have enough confidence in backing either of those two teams, or do you need to see it before you bet it?
Yeah, I need to see it before I bet it. The problem is, here's the problem. Buffalo, I don't know what's going to go on with Stephon Diggs, right? You need him. If this was 2 or 3 years ago when he was there and he was putting up, you know, 1,400-yard seasons and he was a guarantee for 100 yards and at least a touchdown in a playoff performance, I'd say, yeah, Buffalo over the Ravens. But the Ravens have a better defense, and I understand Buffalo dealt with injuries down the stretch, but they have a younger foundation from a defense, right? Those linebackers are unbelievable with Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith. You have Lamar Jackson. I'm just not sold on Baltimore's wide receivers still. I know Zay Flowers stepped up in the playoff game, but I'm not sold on Rashad Bateman. OBJ was non-existent. It was a complete waste to have OBJ sign last year. I mean, what did he do? And Mark Andrews, yes, an above average tight end, but I still think they need more wide receiver help in this year's draft before I buy into Lamar completely, because if the rushing attack isn't there, I still have concerns about Lamar leading this team from a come-from-behind situation. And Josh Allen, the same thing. If they're going to match up with Kansas City, how can you bet that when they haven't beaten them in the postseason yet?
Yeah, no, it's a very fair point, right? These are not just narratives that we are extending. These are tried and true things that we have seen. Buffalo has been bounced in the division around each of the last 3 years. Buffalo has been bounced in the AFC postseason three of the last 4 years by the Chiefs. The last 2 years, the Bills hosted that divisional round matchup. Home field advantage should be key in Western New York, and Lamar Jackson has a 2-4 postseason career record at this point. Has never played in a Super Bowl, of course, has never then won an AFC championship. We'll do the same exercise over in the NFC in a conference that might be a little bit more up in the air. That's coming your way next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. Conference title odds now out for next year's NFL season in 2024. We looked at the AFC, how much of a competitive conference, a gauntlet it is going to be this year. next year for many years to come, given the ages of the starting quarterbacks for those title contenders. Joe, over in the NFC, a little bit of a different story. And right now, the San Francisco 49ers are booked as the favorites, less than a 2.5-to-1 price at +230. In fact, the Lions and the Cowboys tied for the second best price at 6-to-1. That means San Francisco is more than half the price of every other team in the NFC already here on February 19th. It seems like a short number to me, Joe. Maybe a little bit too short. What say you?
I can't buy into it. I mean, San Francisco, I know the nucleus is there, but I just can't do it. I can't do it because I don't know what the residual effects are going to be out of Kyle Shanahan and this team overall. You know, we talk about teams being able to get to the Super Bowl and not being able to win it, and what does that do in regards to the next season? We saw Buffalo lose 4 straight Super Bowls, and it was an amazing, you know, feat that they were able to get there each and every year, but I just have problems. And again, I'm not sold on Detroit as being that answer, but I do think you'll get a bounce back potentially from Philadelphia. I think Green Bay is much more improved now with an identity with Jordan Love. And the LA Rams potentially can maybe challenge San Francisco. I know San Francisco is still the front runners, but you saw Stafford, you saw Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp evolve as an offense at the end of the year. Sean McVay did his probably one of his best coaching jobs this season. And here's the other factor that I'll bring up in terms of San Francisco. Brock Purdy is the man, right? But you had now basically 2 full years where Christian McCaffrey has been a little bit nicked up, hasn't been completely derailed from injury. Can you count on that again this year? Because that's a big if. If he's not in that offense, and we saw Debo get knocked out as well this year, what does that do to the continuity? That's always a concern. So at +230, I can't buy in right now.
Listen, it's just too short of a number. We saw San Francisco get closer and closer to even money in the final 5, 6, 7 weeks of this NFL regular season. This is a price at +230 that maybe emerges week number 8, week number 9, week 10, maybe even as early as week 6. But right where things are right now, that's just super short. But one of the good things about that number, Joe, if you're not going to bet San Francisco, because of how short the 49ers are, everybody else might present a little bit of value or at least a big payday if you think they can unseat the hefty favorites at this moment. The Lions 6-to-1, the Cowboys 6-to-1. Let's start with the two teams from Detroit and Dallas. The Lions last year, historic levels we had not seen in 3 decades. First divisional crown in 30 years. First playoff win in 32 seasons. First NFC title game appearance in 32 years. A 17-point halftime lead. It seemed as though the Lions would make their first ever Super Bowl in franchise history. Of course, we know what played out in the final 30 minutes in Santa Clara in the NFC Championship game. But still, a lot to build on. The reason the number is as short as it appears right now is because of the retention of Ben Johnson as the OC, Aaron Glenn as the DC. Dallas, however, Joe, it's a different story. 13 playoff appearances, rather, since winning their last Super Bowl championship in 1995, and they have never even reached an NFC championship game, let alone win an NFC championship in those 13 playoff appearances. One and done, bounced in their first playoff game, 8 of those 13 playoff trips. Joe, do you have any faith in either Detroit or Dallas to maybe cash those tickets at +600?
I would have more in Detroit than I would Dallas at this point, right? I mean, I just think all the pressure is on Mike McCarthy. I do have more confidence in Dan Campbell and Detroit because they pushed San Francisco to the limit. They were able to get to the NFC Championship game, and at the end of the day, they had a 17-point first-half lead. So if we're talking both of those teams, yeah, I believe more in Detroit because I just have no confidence in Mike McCarthy in a big spot. He showed that by getting blown out by Green Bay. Team comes out flat. No offensive adjustments, no defensive adjustments. You lose Dan Quinn. What does that mean to the defense overall? And here's the other thing, too. You know, we talk about Dak in terms of playoff performances as well. At least Jared Goff has gotten his team to a Super Bowl and has gotten to 2 NFC championship games, right? That is the most important thing for me. I mean, that is the biggest thing when we look at the quarterback evolution and progression, have more confidence in Goff than I do Dak Prescott as well.
Yeah. I would agree with you when it comes to that, by the way. And I know there's going to be questions about Jared Goff, who's had two great years under Ben Johnson as his offensive coordinator. All of that tracks, all of that makes sense, and frankly, that is warranted. But Jared Goff was great last year, and with Ben Johnson still being in the Motor City, I expect Jared Goff to be really good once again. I made this point when we talked MVP odds, Joe. 50-1 to win that NFL MVP award is a really big number on Jared Goff. And I'm not saying he's going to win the award, but there is a very crystal clear path where 50-1 looks like a lot of value on Jared Goff at this moment. I have no faith in the Cowboys. I'm never going to bet the Cowboys to win an NFC championship when they can't even reach the title game. Not your money, not my money, Joe, not anybody's money out there, not even my worst enemies. I wouldn't take Brady Cannon's money and bet it on this game, on the Dallas Cowboys to win the NFC championship. I wouldn't take Craig Mish's money. I wouldn't take Kevin Walsh's money to bet on the Dallas Cowboys. Shout out to some of our
Brady Cannon and
colleagues.
Craig Mish, but Craig eats chicken and parm on Super Bowl.
I know. That's why I wouldn't do it. How could I? How could I trust somebody's money that eats chicken parm on Super Bowl Sunday? Never could. Won't do it. Anyway, Joe, as I look at things right now, I would never bet the Dallas Cowboys because they haven't shown a propensity to even get to the game, let alone, of course, win a conference championship. Now, I have an idea, Joe. If I were to ask you for a value bet where you would go in the NFC, what is that team that you would say?
NFC, they're the usual suspects for me. It is Green Bay. It is the LA Rams, just because of what they were able to do last year. They both had San Francisco on the ropes for the most part. You know, I mean, well, the Rams lost to Detroit, but I'm saying, like, they were the Green Bay, the way they evolved with Jordan Love. I like those playmakers, Christian Watson, Aaron Jones. I just think they have the nucleus, and if they could find some defensive talent in the draft or in free agency, I think 25-1 is huge in regards to that overall for the Super Bowl, 10-1 to win the NFC. And then the Rams, I mean, with Stafford, as long as Stafford's healthy, he is a Super Bowl winning quarterback, right? You have potentially two of the best wide receiver duos, right? Cooper Kupp, if he's 80% of the wide receiver he was a couple of years ago, if he bounces back now with a full year under his belt, Puka Nacua, they are legitimately two potential 1,000-yard wide receivers, right? So, I mean, they're there. The only team I could look at outside of that, if we're talking significant dark horses, and this is huge because we have to see what Mike Evans does, but Tampa Bay, because of what Baker Mayfield was able to do, 30-1, you know, you have to hand it to Baker. He stepped up. He erased all the negativity. He won a playoff game. And if they, somehow, some way, they can, if they lose Mike Evans, at least make up for his productivity and build more offensive weapons around Baker, I think potentially they could be a dark horse. That is the only team I'm willing to back outside of those three.
Yeah, I agree with that statement, Joe. But when I look right now at the NFC, for me, it's Philadelphia at an 8-1 price. I expect the Eagles to be playing. What?
No, I said that's not a bad price for them either.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Coming from you, a sharp handicapper, I really do appreciate that. Philadelphia at 8-1 for me, Joe, is the area I would look. And I think the Eagles are going to be playing in the NFC Championship game once again. I think the big change for Philly this year and the disastrous ending of the season that the Eagles found was the fact that the CEO head coach, Nick Sirianni, did not have the coordinators he needed to draw things up schematically to highlight the best of what his team can do. So who do they get to now replace those roles? Offensively, you bring in Kellen Moore, who I still believe in as one of the bright young minds offensively in the National Football League. And in my estimation, Joe, if you can have somebody to just be a defensive coordinator, to just be a defensive first guy, to focus on the defensive side of the football, there's no better than Vic Fangio. And for Vic to make his return now to the city of brotherly love, I think it's a great thing for Philadelphia. I think that 8-1 price is going to come into play. I would not be surprised if the Eagles win the NFC Championship once again. I think they are going to be playing in that NFC Championship game come the end of January.
Yeah, they are. And here's the thing. They have a good shot, right? You have an above-average quarterback in Jalen Hurts, slightly regressed last year. Was he knocked up? What, you know, was it the offensive philosophy of Brian Johnson or the play calling? Now you bring in Kellen Moore. We have to see. He likes to utilize the rushing attack as well, so that should benefit those running backs there. And Vic Fangio couldn't get it done with my Miami Dolphins, but he is an above-average defensive coordinator. Hopefully he can get this group better, because when they were 10-1 overall, that defense was one of the best against the run, only giving up around 65 rushing yards per game, and all of a sudden that front seven fell off a cliff over the last 2 months of the regular season and heading into the playoffs. They lost their physicality or intensity. If he can bring that back, they're going to be a very difficult out, because we know they have playmakers. Devontae Smith, yeah. You have A.J. Brown, and if Hurts could get back to running the football with the RPO game, 8-1's great value, Ben.
Yeah, completely agree, Joe. And it would be a ticket I would bet. Are you guys ready? I know Joe Lisi is. He's not just the mastermind of the pigskin. He's the mastermind of the college football pigskin. It's some college football win total talk on the other side of the break here on Football Full Circle. It's February. Let's get fired up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Are you ready? Some college football in the month of February. Shout out to the FanDuel Sportsbook, who already has lines out for that opening weekend. We have a game in Dublin, week zero between Florida State and Georgia Tech, FSU, 12.5-point favorite. I am already going to bet a game available on FanDuel. That's taking NDSU, North Dakota State, plus 8.5 against Colorado in the season opener between the Bison and the Buffaloes. But Joe, one of the great things about where things are around the FanDuel Sportsbook, there are win totals out for the changing landscape in college football in 2024. Of course, sweeping changes coming to CFB next season. First and foremost, the 12-team expansion in the college football playoff. And of course, considerable conference realignment. Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC. The Big Ten adds Oregon, UCLA, USC, and Washington. The Big 12, very different. Arizona State, you add in Colorado and Utah as well. The ACC adds on a few like SMU, Stanford, in Cal. This is the time, and of course the Pac-12 really is no more. It's the Pac-2 of Oregon State and Washington State in their scheduling alliance and partnership with the Mountain West. A Power 5 is gone. A Power 4 is kind of there. Really, it's a Power 2 between the Big 10 and the SEC. So let's start in the Big 10 and look at some of the win totals for this new conference in 2024. Of course, the defending national champs hail in this conference in the Big Ten. It's hail to the victors, but a very different Michigan football program entering next year. Jim Harbaugh is gone. A lot of the coaching staff moves on. Some of the most significant players also have moved on. J.J. McCarthy, Blake Corum, just to name a few. Win total for Michigan, Joe, a defending national champion, 9.5, and the under has the juice at minus 122.
Yeah, again, a bit, you know, how much does Harbaugh affect that win total, right? With Sherrone Moore now taking over and being there for a full season, we saw him win 3 games down the stretch. 2 of the biggest games in regards to Michigan's season, Penn State and Ohio State, respectively. He was able to get the most out of those teams and that team to win a national championship. They have now potentially, right, Wink Martindale might be the defensive coordinator there. So that, you know, that should solidify the defense. I would take the over 9.5. At worst, I think you're looking at 10-2 overall, even though the schedule is a little difficult. I still got to believe that the offense and defensive lines have to be there. They coached them up. That's what they did in terms of recruiting. At the worst, I think they eke there. I mean, again, would Ohio State have the inside edge now with all the transfers that they got, Caleb Downs and all that talent coming over? Potentially so, but they still own Penn State. 10-2, I don't think is out of the realm of possibility. So I would lean to even money at over 9.5, Ben.
Yeah, listen, Sherrone Moore is going to be a good and successful football coach for the Maize and Blue in Ann Arbor. He has had to rebuild the staff that Jim Harbaugh really sapped when he made the move to Los Angeles. Wink Martindale, yes, that Wink Martindale, former Ravens and Giants defensive coordinator, is going to be the new DC at the college level in Ann Arbor. There is still going to be a ton of talent for this Michigan team, but I expect regression. I think the Big Ten, Joe, runs through Ohio State in 2024. In fact, I think you can make an argument college football runs through Ohio State in 2024. Everybody they have brought back, all the transfers and additions they have made, Quinshon Judkins, Caleb Downs, Will Howard at the quarterback spot. I love what they have done to get Chip Kelly as their offensive coordinator. It was a strange and peculiar move, the reunion between him and when he was Ryan Day's offensive coordinator, when Ryan Day was his quarterback at the University of New Hampshire to leave UCLA, where Chip had lost the fan base, where he had lost the fervor to recruit and really be a head coach at a big-time level. Again, a peculiar move, but offensively going to be huge. And I think both Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins put up huge numbers next year if you look at what Chip Kelly did during his time at Oregon and even with UCLA. But, Joe, 10.5 the win total for the Buckeyes. The over has the juice at minus 150. Oregon, the other team, with a 10.5 win total in the Big Ten. Yes, Oregon now a Big Ten member. 10.5 the win total, but the under has the juice for the Ducks at minus 122. Again, I think Ohio State runs the Big Ten this year, Joe.
They do, Ben, but is this – here's the thing. Like, everything lines up, right? The quarterback, Will Howard, although I have concerns about Will Howard. I still don't think he's a consistent passer, you know, and obviously how do they incorporate the RPO game? But you mentioned those two big play running backs, 1,000-yard rusher a couple of seasons ago with Quinshon Judkins, didn't have as much success this year with Lane Kiffin. It was more Jackson Dart in the passing attack. But, I mean, dynamic 1-2 punch. And then what do you get out of the defense this year? That is the biggest thing, but it just seems like the stars are aligning. Now, everything lines up for Ryan Day, right? There's no doubt they're not going to make the playoff. So the pressure's not there in terms of the regular season. They don't have to win every game, even though you get a bye. I would bet the under. You're going to laugh at me. I would take a shot on the under because how is the continuity going to be? You have all these, you know, sparkly new pieces. Can they gel as an offense and a defense of unit and a team with chemistry? I would like the under the radar team in Michigan over the 9.5. I would go under the win total for Ohio State because if Ryan Day doesn't get it done, the pressure's on. If he can't make the playoffs and potentially get to the championship game this year, he might be on the hot seat.
Listen, Ohio State could be 11-0 with a spot in the college football playoff and maybe even the Big Ten title game, entering the game against Michigan Saturday, November 30th. If he loses to the Maize and Blue without Jim Harbaugh now for a fourth consecutive year, it might not matter what happens for Ohio State beyond that in terms of Ryan Day's job security. But when you look at the schedule for Ohio State, despite the highest win total, it is not easy. Road games at Oregon in Autzen the middle of October, a road game in Happy Valley against Penn State. They do get to host Michigan this time around at the Shoe. That didn't really matter 2 years ago. It is not an easy slate for Ohio State by any means. No marquee games in non-conference action really for the Buckeyes. They should be a perfect 5-0 entering, or 6-0, excuse me. No, 5-0. I'm doing my math incorrectly here. 5-0 entering that game on the road in Eugene inside Autzen against Oregon. Joe, Oregon's second highest win total in the Big Ten at 10.5, but the under has the juice. The Ducks are going to be a team to follow. Dylan Gabriel, the new quarterback, in Eugene. Dante Moore, not far behind him. And for Dan Lanning, who bucked what everybody thought was going to be a move to Alabama after Nick Saban retired earlier this offseason, to remain in Eugene to build up this Oregon football program once again. What do you think the Ducks' expectations are going to look like in their first year in the Big Ten?
Well, expectations are going to be, to potentially win a Big Ten championship and get to the college football playoff. They were on the cusp when they lost to Washington, and now they have another trigger man in Dylan Gabriel. I have more confidence, Ben, believe it or not, in Oregon than I do Ohio State, and that's just because of what Dan Lanning has been able to build. They build it internally in terms of offense and defensive line play. He's a good coach in terms of big game situations. They very rarely, they don't get blown out, right? And it's 2 years there. So that's the biggest thing. They've been in each and every game that they've lost. I would take a shot at the over 10.5 because I love Dylan Gabriel. We saw him do dynamic deeds and productivity in terms of Norman and win big games most notably against Texas. So again, I think you're looking at similar type of numbers to Bo Nix. I think he's more explosive than Will Howard. So if we're making the comparison, Ohio State to Oregon, give me Oregon at the over 10.5. I think they potentially could be 11-1 and get to the college football playoff, maybe undefeated. So keep an eye out for that. They would get my money over Ohio State.
And that's been the interesting thing, Joe. You just mentioned it, college football playoff, Oregon and Ohio State. You would expect three Big Ten teams to be in the first field of 12. Listen, that's just where we are trending in college football. But Oregon's schedule in its first year in the Big Ten, they have a road trip to Michigan and a road trip to Wisconsin. They will finish the year with Washington at home, but they get Ohio State at home as well. You could really see 10, 11 wins, and that's probably good enough to either get into a Big Ten championship game or into the college football playoff. It should be said, Joe, with the restructuring of this landscape and conference realignment, it's not going to be as easy for the Alabamas and the Georgias and the Ohio States and the Clemsons and the Florida States and the Oregons and USCs and so on and so forth to just easily walk into bare minimum 10 or 11 wins and try to be undefeated. You are playing a gauntlet of a schedule now in your conference. I said Oregon has a beneficial schedule where they get to host Ohio State and Washington. That still includes road trips to Michigan and Wisconsin and UCLA and Oregon State and Purdue. Those are sneaky spots, Joe, that Oregon might not be accustomed to playing these new conference members. Listen, they're going to be favored in those football games, even on the road, but you're playing marquee programs week in, week out, where even some of the middle of the pack, the lesser programs now in your conference are not shoe-in victories, and you're playing 3 to 4 marquee programs that really are toss-ups. That will be a big effect this year, I think, on those win total numbers that normally you would say, all right, I'll give Ohio State at least 10 wins. I'll give Michigan at least 10 wins, and more than likely they're going to be undefeated. Not the case anymore, given the conference realignment structure to college football.
No, it's a great point. And you know what it's similar to when I made this? You know, West Virginia, when they went to the Big 12, they started fast a few years. Go back to the days of Geno Smith where they were undefeated and lost their last 6 games. The logistics of just the schedule potentially could catch up to the West Coast teams, UCLA, USC, Oregon, and Washington, respectively, right? So, okay, they get Ohio State in their house, but when they have to go on the road to a potential Big Ten team and the back-to-backs, how does that affect, you know, the team in terms of overall productivity and wins and losses? That's something that I think needs to be monitored. I just think when you just look at the nucleus, and yes, on paper, Ohio State has much better talent, but again, we've seen Ryan Day not live up to expectations and fail in big game spots. Now, Dan Lanning has as well. 2 of those losses last year came to Washington, and that's why they weren't in the college football playoff. But again, they were still in that ball game to the fourth quarter, whereas Ryan Day in some of these games was completely outcoached in terms of the second half, in terms of making adjustments. He does have now 2 solid coordinators, but I am concerned to see how this plays out. And you might, you know, I don't suggest anybody diving in on all of these until we see how this season progresses. You might, we talk units, maybe bet a quarter unit in terms of these preseason totals, because we don't know the effects until the season actually takes off, Ben, and we could see how these teams respond.
Yeah, it's not often, Joe, that in the college football playoff era, in fact, it's only been Georgia and Alabama, we have seen the two teams face off in a national championship and then be in the same conference the very next season. That's what Washington and Michigan will have, and both have a win total that looks worse than what it was entering last year. Washington, 7.5, the under, has the hefty juice at minus 142. Of course, so much change coming for that football program, not only the head coach and Kalen DeBoer now being in Tuscaloosa and Jed Fish stepping in, but Michael Penix Jr. is gone, Roma Dunze is gone, Jalen McMillan is gone, Jalen Polk is gone, Dylan Johnson is gone, so on and so forth for the Huskies. We'll look at the top of the SEC on the other side of the break. It's Alabama, it's Georgia, but it's really Texas. We'll do that up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
The SEC, a new landscape, of course, without Nick Saban there any longer. 7 of the last 10 SEC championships have gone to that team in Tuscaloosa led by Nick Saban. Now it's Kalen DeBoer. And the win total for the Crimson Tide, Joe, is 9.5 entering next year. And the under has the juice. Georgia, 10.5, the win total, even money on both sides, minus 110 over, minus 110 under. One of the newcomers, Texas, also a 10.5 for the win total, where the under has the juice at minus 122. And I know there's a team over in Oxford that catches your eye. Portal champions, a lot of new talent for the running Rebs. Ole Miss, 9.5, Joe, is the win total. The over has the juice at minus 144. How do you see the SEC playing out next year?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Alabama, and I know Jalen Milroe's there, but they have a very difficult schedule. They get Georgia in the month of September. They have to travel to Tennessee, which is not easy, and travel to LSU. I think those potentially could be three losses on their schedule, and they go under their win total. I love Ole Miss and Jackson Dart. Was over their 8.5 win total last year. They made it to a New Year's Day bowl, beat up Penn State, and Lane Kiffin is really building a program. We talk about coaches like Lanning and Kiffin staying pat, and the reason why they did that is because they're getting a wealth of talent from the transfer portal and coaching that talent up. Why would you leave when that train's in motion? So the Ole Miss, yeah. LSU would get my money in terms of 2024.
LSU, the win total for the Tigers, 9.5 as well, the over a slight bit of juice. It's going to be fascinating to watch the SEC play out. Those are just what we just mentioned there. Five teams when you include LSU that have a win total of 9.5 or higher, and the over has the juice on the 9.5s except for Alabama with 2 10.5s, Georgia and Texas. How many teams out of the SEC make the college football playoff? How many teams out of the Big Ten? What exactly is the structure going to look like? All those questions will be answered in just a few months. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon Eastern here on Football Full Circle.